Eugene Peterson that once said, in our culture, there is a great market for religious experience in our world, but there is very little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition for what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. And so here's another prayer for us today as we broaden our understanding of what it means to be holy. God's people must pursue our identity as holy instead of retreating from it. And you may feel that we're not retreating from it, but there's times at which I wonder. And so my prayer is that today we will again be reminded of this beautiful pursuit of God's holiness. Last week we talked about obedience, and you'll know that obey is a verb, which means it's action-oriented, and it should flow out of a loving, faithful covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. We're faithful to Him because He first loved us. And as a result of that covenant relationship, we are given a new identity. And one of those premier identity markers is holy. God has always called His people holy from the times of Mount Sinai and Exodus, and He always will because He is holy. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, I want you to join me in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to just ask you if you would, if you're able, would you stand with me, and I want us to read this opening text together from 1 Peter chapter 1, and it'll also be on the screen. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." May it be so. Thank you. So the first truth that I want us to remember this morning is that God is holy. That is foundational to our faith. And so any discussion of holiness that we have does not develop out of thin air. It begins and is solely based on the fact that God is holy. He is the standard. And admittedly, He's on a different playing field, right? He's the creator of all things. He's not the creation. He is Lord and Savior over all. He doesn't bow down to anyone or to anything. As Israel was coming out of Egyptian bondage and beginning their new relationship with Yahweh, the Lord gave them a new way to live in the form of what we now call Torah. The Ten Commandments were just the tip of the iceberg. Almighty God gave them commands for holy living, including relationship regulations, community expectations for themselves and their neighbors that surrounded them, and purity commands to keep themselves clean before the Lord. This is the holiness code because from the beginning, God called His people holy because He is holy. Leviticus 11:45. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. And Jesus, since He was God in the flesh, was the embodiment of holiness. And there's lots of references that point to Jesus' holiness, but some of my favorite are when the demons acknowledge that Jesus is holy. Probably my favorite is Luke 4:34, just because of the way it starts. Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And as Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father in the flesh, so He embodies the holiness of God. And angels and demons and unbelievers and disciples all confess the fact that Jesus was the Holy One of God. And so I want us to see that it's God's nature to be holy. It's who He is. And it was paramount for the prophets and the priests and the kings and the angels and the demons and the disciples to continually proclaim God's holiness because it's foundational to our faith. And if our God was to just have one sin, just one, our faith would be futile because our foundational faith, the truth of our faith, is that God is holy, sinless, pure. And in return, as we stand, as we lie prostrate, as we kneel, as we recognize who God is and we're in His presence, we also begin to realize our own sinfulness and we confess our need for Him because He is holy. Our God is holy. Have you ever noticed how sports teams, especially in college, they have their chants, they have their anthems that clearly defines this is who we are? Of course you've noticed because you have one. You have an alma mater. And if you didn't graduate from a college, you probably, I'm going to guess, are rooting for someone. And then some of you could care less, but maybe musically, you're like, yeah, I like the band, okay? I mean, we're connected to these anthems. For me, growing up, my dad was a graduate of the University of Oklahoma. Sorry if you're from Oklahoma State this morning. He was a graduate. I went to Oklahoma Christian, and so I'm not one of those diehard OU fans. But as a little child, I did what my dad did, right? And so even if we were at home in the living room, as the team would run out onto the field, Boomer Sooner would start, and we'd stand up in the living room. Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner. You know, and I wanted people to know that I was a Sooner fan, even if I wasn't at the stadium. And before some of y'all judge me too quickly, you have your anthems too, right? Whether it's Horned Frogs or Longhorns or Aggies or Red Raiders or some other alma mater, you have your anthem, that kind of, when you hear it, your chest starts to swell. And you might even do this. Oh, yeah. Go fight. Longhorns or Aggie, you know, whatever. Bum, 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 ba-dum, ba-dum, bum, bum, bum. Some of you started to foam at the mouth right now. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. And some of you are wanting to stand up. And so we have these anthems. And they cause us to swell up and to be prideful, to be passionate. And they're all earthly anthems, and if we put them in their proper context, they're meaningless inside of eternity, right? They're meaningless. So let me ask us a question. What's the anthem of the people of God? What overriding, allegiance-filled anthem do we sing now and for all eternity that should bring us to our knees, puff us up with genuine pride, and cause a deep stirring in our soul? What's the anthem of God that defines this is who we are? And when you hear it or when you're in an assembly and they start to sing it, you want to stand up. Shout it from the mountaintops. What is the anthem of God? It's repeated throughout Scripture, right? God is holy. And when there's a mention of the heavenly chorus, it's a repeated refrain. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And when I read that, or when I hear it, or when we sing it, I just want to stand up and say, sing it with me. And all other anthems fade. Because there's none more important than God is holy. In Hebrew scripture, one of the ways to mark something down as being significant was to repeat something twice. And so if you see a name or something of importance being repeated twice in the same verse, you should pay attention, especially in the Hebrew scripture. When God was calling Moses to bring his people out of Egyptian bondage, do you remember how he called Moses? Moses! Moses! And when Abraham was about to sacrifice his one and only son, the promised son of the covenant, Isaac, he was about to sacrifice him on the altar. He had his hand raised and God shouted out, Abraham! Abraham! But did you know that the only time in Scripture that we have an attribute of God repeated three times is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And did you know that in our Bibles is bookended? Our Bibles are bookended by two praise anthems that both proclaim the holiness of God. The first is found in Exodus 15. It's the song of Moses and Miriam after the crossing of the Red Sea. And they sang together, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" And the second is found in Revelation 15. Proclaiming, "Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name, for you alone are holy." And so throughout the narrative of Scripture, it is made clear God does not want us to miss it, the bedrock truth of who he is. God is holy. But in connection to himself, God also calls and commands us to be holy. The call to holiness is not a new call, right? It's a consistent call of God upon his people. The Israelites, again, fresh out of slavery in Egypt, were anything but holy. If you read their story and you're paying attention, though Yahweh is pursuing them, they have no idea who he is. They don't trust him. They don't love him. And yet from the beginning, God says, "You are holy." Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." And some of you are saying, "I thought that was in the New Testament." Hold on, we'll be there. "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Our holy God has always declared his people to be holy. The Apostle Peter repeats this. It sounds familiar to us because it's the consistent anthem of who we are. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And so if there's anything that I could impress upon us this morning, it's that holy is a privileged identity marker from God to his people. But we have a tendency to sing more about it than to actually live it. And if some of us were honest this morning, we don't really want the descriptor holy. We believe that it's a four-letter word and it carries with it these negative connotations. We have these man-made phrases that include the word holy, like, "Oh man, look at that holy roller." Or, "Who are you? You think you're holier than me?" Some say holier than thou. And we have these phrases that have the word holy in them, but couldn't be further from the biblical understanding and definition of what it means to be holy. The goal of us being holy is not just for the sake of personal holiness, somehow making others inferior to us. That's never been God's intention for us to be holy. We are declared holy by God and should pursue that pathway in order to point other people to our holy God. And so we are imitating the one that we want others to discover and follow. And just as Israel was called out by God to be a holy nation, an example to the other nations of light and life and truth and love and obedience, so today God's people, the church, are called by God, identified by God to be holy in order to declare his glory to the world. And so let me say this, holiness is a matter of mission, not a pursuit of perfection. Because even in our imperfections, God says, still, you are my holy people. So be holy, because I am holy. And so our heart's greatest desire should be to become like him, and it should deeply matter to us. As holy people, we don't isolate ourselves from the evil in the world, but instead we find ourselves in the midst of the world doing our best to make holiness appealing to those who don't know God. Now, granted, there's a kind of a fine line here, right? We must make certain that we're doing more to bring people toward God than they are in drawing us away from him. But as Christ followers, we believe that God has planted us where we are for a very specific purpose. And one of those is to be holy. To be salt of the earth. To be the light of the world. To be declaring his praises to the world that so desperately needs him. And so let me ask you, are you living out your calling from God to be holy? And how do the people around you know? How do they see you as a distinctive, holy person? Again, not from a place of I'm better than you, but from a place of mission. I personally strive for holiness because I want the people around me to know our holy God. So what does that look like for you? What changes might you need to make? I believe one of the primary problems for us as God's people in this pursuit of holiness is that we often view holiness as a role to play instead of a lifestyle to be lived. It was several years ago that I had a young lady come to my church office in Oklahoma at the church I was at the time, and she was noticeably emotional, upset, and so I invited her in, and I said, take your time, just you're obviously here for a reason, so I'm just here to listen. And she began to express to me that she had met a man several months ago in our church, and it was a fairly large church, and so I didn't even know who this gentleman was. And she began to express to me that she appreciated his faith, the way that he handled himself at church on Wednesdays and Sundays is where she would interact with him, and just really looked up to the way that he carried himself and was a leader. And he had asked her out on a date, and she accepted. And they went, and they had a good time, but as that date was coming to an end, he made some inappropriate advances at her, and she was greatly disappointed. And so she was just working through these emotions with me in my office, and I'll never forget one of the comments she said toward the end of our meeting. She said, I guess he's only holy on Sundays. And so I just ask us the question again, what changes do we need to make so that we're pursuing this pathway of holiness? It's not about perfection. It's about a trajectory of our heart. And again, this isn't something we earn. This is an identifying marker that God has given to us. You are holy. You are a holy nation. You are my people. So be holy as I am holy. And so coming to church and being involved in church and ministries on Sundays and Wednesdays doesn't make one holy any more than it would make someone a doctor just by walking into a hospital. And so may we never make the same mistake that this young man made, fashioning God into whatever we want him to be, because oftentimes we justify our sinful behavior by saying, hey, listen, God is a God of love. God is love. And so even if I mess up, it's his job to forgive, right? And not only is that attitude of heart taking advantage of the grace of God, but let me just boldly remind us that the anthem of heaven, the anthem of God, is not love, love, love. The anthem of Scripture is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now, don't misunderstand me. Our God is love. And he loves you more than you could imagine. Without end, he loves you. However, just because he loves us unconditionally does not mean that we are right before him. His love never changes, but because he is holy, he calls us to come out of sin and into the light. So let me just point out one more final, kind of, for me, an astounding fact. The attribute that is used to define God throughout the Bible more than all the other attributes added up together is holiness. And God calls us and he commands us to be holy as he is holy. And just one more time. This is not about perfection, but a pathway toward Jesus. And so I would just ask us this morning, let's not be flippant or cavalier about holiness. And if you need to make some confessions this morning and ask God to help you to change, to pursue more who he is, and we want to help you in that. We want to minister to you this morning as God's people together, holding one another up, encouraging one another in this pathway toward holiness. Because our God, who is love, deeply desires to walk with you toward holiness. So if you need him this morning in any way, please respond to the Lord now. Let's stand and sing this song together.
Holy, holy, holy.